Well, good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
Those last two songs were just really special to me. Number one, because that's where we want to go, is heaven when all this is over with. And number two, because we're going to talk about it. You know, there was an old spiritual years ago that said, everybody talking about it, nobody's doing a thing about heaven. And that's just about the way in which they stated it. Now, some of you may have never heard that song. It's an old, as we used to say, old Negro spiritual. But I guess to be culturally correct today, we'd have to say an old black American spiritual today. But it was a beautiful hymn. And it was noted that a lot of times people talked about it, but no one was doing a thing about it. I hope that that's not our case today. I hope that we're doing a great deal about preparing ourselves for heaven. Anyone can go to heaven. Did you hear what I said? Anyone can go to heaven. It doesn't matter whether you're red, yellow, or black, or white. God sent His Son, and we call Him Jesus, of course, our Messiah, our Master. He sent Jesus so that one day that we could come and be with Him. And the only thing that we must do in order to get there is to obey Him. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Isn't that going to be great? All who obey God, all who do His will, are going to get to go to that heaven that they used to sing about. And it's the same way in which we sing the many spiritual songs that we sing in reference to heaven today. To live in heaven should be the desire of everyone. You know, oftentimes I listen to people as we talk about desire, and you really wonder if they really have any knowledge about heaven at all. You walk up to some young person and say, "Now, just what is your desire? What do you plan on being? Where do you plan on going?" And very seldom have I heard a child come back that I'm preparing for heaven. And maybe that's where we as parents have fallen down on the job a little bit. Yes, we may want them to be lawyers. We may want them to be teachers. We may want them to be many things. But if we have not helped direct our children to heaven, and then we have not totally prepared them. You understand what I'm talking about? If heaven is so beautiful, as we've just got through singing, then we need to somehow portray to our children just how beautiful it is and how that they don't want to miss it. And I believe that most occupations you can have, but let me tell you, the first thing that you ought to be is a Christian, and that will help you in any occupation that is right within itself. Now, there's some occupations that you should not want because it's not going to take you to the beauties of heaven. It'll take you to the depths of hell. And if you have to have, or you're having one of those occupations right now, then my concern for you would be you need to get out of that. Because heaven is where you want to go. And heaven is a place that you must go. When you think about heaven, I love the picture of the earth from out in space. I've always liked those pictures that they've sent back from the spaceships, and you get to really see how beautiful the earth is. And I depict this as God having the earth in His hands. He made this earth for us, but this was just a temporary. This was just a temporary place in which to stay. He didn't intend for this to be our all and in all. Oftentimes, people go on vacations and they'll tell you about all the beautiful things that they saw, how that we ought to want to go there, because after all, they were there. Because they were there, then you ought to want to go and see the very same things that they saw, because it was so beautiful. Well, I don't have pictures that I can put on the projector that depicts heaven. God didn't see fit to give us a pictorial of heaven itself, other than through words. And those are all that we can use. We can take those words, though, and make it something beautiful if we will allow ourselves to allow our minds to get into it and be involved in it. Again, I appreciate Richard singing that song just a few moments ago, because I was going to sing it at the end anyway, so he just jumped the gun a little bit, which is okay. And we may still do it before it's over with. How beautiful heaven must be. Now, let me share some things with you.
Heaven is beautiful because it is the home of the child of God. Somebody says, where's your home? Where are you located? Well, I can tell them I live now in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. But let me tell you one thing, and that is, I am on my way to home. I'm just traveling through right now. I'm on my way to home. We are pilgrims and strangers, Hebrews 11 and there verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. It's interesting, as you look back at the 11th chapter, it's talking about all the old men and old women, or those men who were olden times and such, that they were looking forward to something. They understood that this is not their home. This globe in which you and I live on, this is not our home. We've got another place that we want to go, and here we're just for a little time. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed for man to die once, and after that, the judgment. We're just here for a little time. And I know, I've known people who have been over 100 years of age. In fact, I've performed funerals for those who have been over 100. But yet most of them that I knew and most of them that I talked to, they understood that they had been here upon the earth for a little while. But they said, I'm looking for that which is greater than this place. They said, I want to go home. My grandmother was 95 years of age when she passed away, and she was looking towards heaven. She wanted to go and be with God forever and ever. I had a great-grandfather that lived to be 98 years of age. Cynthia had a grandmother that lived to be 100, and many of you may have in your background or in your past individuals that have lived to be 100. You yourself may live to be 100 years of age if the Lord tarries. Let me tell you, I don't care how long you stay up on this earth. If it were possible for you to be a Methuselah, you're still just a stranger and just a pilgrim here upon this earth. It is that future home where we find happiness and contentment. In 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men to be most pitiful individuals we would be if in this life only we had hope in Christ. If this is the end, let's end it now. If this is all we've got, let's end it now. Because let me tell you, even though you can see a lot of prison, this world is in pretty bad shape, as Tim taught us in class this morning. But what gives me hope is to know that I can go home. And the thing that I've tried to impress upon you, young ones, let me tell you, if there's anything that you can remember me for when I leave this earth, if I do before you, you may leave before me, or we all may be called up the cloud together. Remember that one thing that I've tried to teach you is this. You must go home. You must get to heaven. You must be where God is. If you miss where God is, you've missed it all. Let's go home. Let's go home. Let's get there. But it's also beautiful. Heaven is beautiful because it is eternal. Everything we think about here on this earth is sort of transitory. And we watch things as time passes through. The flowers that are now... The buttercups at my house didn't do too good this year. I like buttercups, but mine didn't do too well. But then, if they had, it would have been just for a little time, just for a little season. Now the red buds are out and the dogwoods are coming out, and those trees are beautiful. But then those flowers on those trees are going to be just for a little while. The great disaster in Boston. There were a lot of people who lost their lives. Some three, and many other injured. And then the disaster in West Texas. And for those of you who don't know, that fertilizer company actually belonged to a member of the church. 15 people have already been noted as being lost, and several are still missing. Don't you know many of them, as well as in Boston, don't you know many of them thought that, hey, things are going to, I'm going to have life for some time, but let me tell you, life can end so quickly. Life is transitory. It's like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Matthew 25:46, and these will go away to everlasting punishment,
but the righteous unto eternal life. Time without end. Sometimes you hear the expression, spending time in heaven. There's not going to be spending any time in heaven. That's an earthly thought. You can't spend eternity. Eternity is that is without end. And I'm grateful for that. Here I've said goodbye to a mother. I've said goodbye to a father and a sister and a brother and many good friends. I've said goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. And I've heard other older people say, I'm tired of saying goodbye. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you haven't lost anybody yet. And if the Lord tarries, let me tell you, it's going to grab you. You better prepare yourself for it. Because those people that you love, it's not eternal. Their life on this earth is not eternal. One day they'll either leave you or you'll leave them. It is a place of eternal rest, Revelation 14:13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor and their works follow them. This would be a good passage for those who say that works don't save. Works by themselves don't. Works of righteousness do. The reason that we're going to be in heaven is because we've worked out our own salvation with fear and trembling based upon the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ Himself. Heaven is beautiful because once we step inside of it, there's nothing that's going to change. Nothing's going to change. Will not say goodbye. It's hello and a continual hello forever and ever and ever and ever, time without end. But heaven is beautiful because of the wonderful association that is there. Turn to John chapter 14. Jesus preparing his disciples for his departure. And as he readies them with one of the prettiest passages of Scripture, as he prepares them, as he's telling them he's going to leave them, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, through Jesus Christ. We can have fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and be with them forever and ever. I'm rather inquisitive, and I'm sort of anxious to see what it's like to be with the God family. What it's like to be with men and women of past generations. What it's going to be like to be, to sing in that heavenly chorus. What it's going to be like to just be there. Heaven and the association that is there. Hebrews 11 gives us again a depiction of all of those who are going to be there. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We get into the New Testament with Peter and Paul and Andrew and Martha and Miriam and others. Godly people, godly men and women, and even our own loved ones who have gone on before us. In Matthew 25, it talks about the kind of people that are going to be there. They're going to be the people who saw someone hungry and gave him food, saw one sick and visited him, saw one in prison and went and visited them. Where Jesus said, when you've done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And so it means we're going to be there with some of the greatest people that have ever been on the face of God's earth. What a great association. Sometimes I hear people talk about, well, I went to this ball game, or I went to this musical, or I went to this whatever it might be. I went. And so many good people there. So what? Good. How were you using the term good? Were they morally good? Were their hearts pure? Or were you just thinking from the standpoint, they like the same kind of music I like, they like the kind of plays that I like? Let me tell you, when we get to heaven,
it's all going to be about God. And it's going to be all about those who knew that it was all about God. You understand what I'm saying? It's those who make it to heaven are those who finally realize, and it took me a little while to get that to my hard head. Any of you ever been hard-headed? There have been times in my life when it was all about me. You know, it was about me and what I wanted and what I needed. But let me tell you, my life has been a lot better since I realized that it's all about God. And then when it's all about God, regardless of circumstances, regardless of situations, when I know that it's all about Him, it was like one day it just says, I got it. It's about Him. Have you got it yet? I think some of you have. I think the sad thing is, some of us haven't. We're still living selfish lives where it's almost as if God owes us. I deserve. When it comes to deserving, I've come to the conclusion the only thing that God has said that I'm going to get is heaven itself if I'll do His will. He didn't promise me that my children were going to be the best, my wife was going to be the best, my job was going to be the best, my house was going to be the best, my car was going to be the best, my, all of that. He promised me I could come to His house. I could have the forgiveness of my sins. And because my sins have been done away with, they're no longer imputed to me, and I can go home. I'm going to talk to you about victory. Heaven is beautiful because it is a place of victory. I know we spend probably too much time talking about the victories of certain ball games, be it football, basketball, or baseball. Let me tell you something, beloved. If we spend as much time talking about victory in Christ Jesus as we do sometimes about ball games or schools and things that are going on in school projects and such like, when was the last time you spent some good quality time talking about victory in Christ Jesus? I'm convinced that most of us have not said enough about it. The Apostle Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. He just got through talking about the gospel, that their faith was based upon the resurrected Christ and how that Christ had died for them. And because He had died for them as He died and was resurrected, one day we too would be resurrected. Victory through Jesus Christ. And it's interesting, after that verse, he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Victory! Victory belongs to every Christian. Victory belongs to every child of God. Victory is within our grasp. You may not win the race, foot race. You may not win a basketball or football or baseball game. You may be the worst on the team even. Let me tell you, when God says to you on the day of judgment, "Well done, good and faithful servant," what you're hearing is victory. What you're hearing is getting the greatest trophy of all time. That is the salvation of your soul. In heaven forever and for heaven. Heaven is eternal victory. It's interesting, after the last basketball game, the coaches said, "We have to work towards tomorrow."
that victory was so short-lived. They had to work towards tomorrow and the next ball team and the next ball game. When we get to heaven, it's all over. Victory. Victory is ours. It is a place of beauty because it is the end of indifference. There's a lot of indifference in this world, and sometimes I'm afraid there's a lot of indifference even in the kingdom of God.
And since the kingdom of God is made up of individuals, it means that there's some individuals that are just indifferent to the truth of God's will. And I pray that's not you and not me. Revelation 3, verse 15, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's a pretty disgusting thought. You don't know true love as far as in a family. And you're holding your husband's or wife's head while they're throwing up every which way. And now that's a disgusting thing for God to throw up or leave us with that thought because of indifference. It should tell us how ugly it is. Immorality, the works of the flesh, in Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21.
And those works of the flesh are enumerated there in that text, and that's just the beginning of a list. He said that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm convinced that every one of the sins that are mentioned there in Galatians 5, one or more of us have been guilty of those sins at times past. As he spoke to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, around verse 19, he said, and such were some of you. This is the way your former life was. Every day that we live, we have to live around such immorality, such immodesty and immaturity. And oftentimes, if we're not careful, it'll start getting a hold of us. And all of a sudden, you've said something that you wished you had not said, or done something that you wished you had not done, and it was because of the influence of ugliness. And here the text is telling us that all that's coming to end. In heaven, all of this will have ended.
Every bit of it will be gone. Irreverence, ignorance, ill will, ingratitude. All the ugliness gone. How wonderful heaven is going to be. How beautiful it's going to be. Because all that's gone. It's ended. I'll never have to worry again about a misplaced word by someone. Never have to worry about an inappropriate action. It's all ended. And that's why that song is so beautiful, about how beautiful heaven must be.
Heaven is beautiful because of its nature. Every once in a while somebody will come up and say, now when you're done with that, I'd like to have it. Now that's a kind way of saying, when you're dead, I want to take that home with me. I mean, there's just no nice way of saying that. You know, when you're done with that, I understand when you're saying when you're done with that. When you're dead, I want it. And I'm sure that some of you have said that to your parents. Or you will say it to your parents. Be it understood that they're going to understand that what you just said is, when you're dead, I want that. Now, let's not get in too big of a hurry of wanting to collect that. If it does come rather quickly. If we have been a faithful Christian as far as your father or mother, your grandmother or grandfather, be thankful that they've gone on. that they're in the bosom of Abraham, and that they're all right, and it's okay, and you can have that thing because they were through with it. To inherit inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved, I've underlined reserved, reserved in heaven. And I like to put there, me. How about you? That's what it says. I have a reservation. And isn't that really what Jesus was saying in John 14? I go to prepare a place for you. I go to make a reservation for you, fellas. And where I am, where I'm going, I'm making a reservation. I'm making all preparations for you to come and be with me. Greatest thing that I could ever inherit. It's not a rolling pin from mother. The eyeglasses of my father. And other things like that. The greatest thing that I have is my soul salvation, getting ready to be in heaven. Are you ready for it? Seriously. If today was your last day, would all be well? Heaven is a beautiful place because it is a prepared place for prepared people. And prepared people are going to be there. They're individuals who have been obedient to the gospel. They understood somewhere within their lifetime that without faith it was impossible to please Him. For they that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Those who are in heaven are individuals who have repented of their sins. Individuals who have confessed their faith in Christ. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Can you remember when somebody didn't confess you? Do you remember how it hurt? You think about what it's going to mean when the Master is unwilling to confess. Let me ask you, based upon your life right now, April the 21st, 2013, based upon your life right now, based upon your confession of faith in Christ, would He confess you today before the Father? I think that's an appropriate question that deserves an appropriate answer. And be immersed. That individual who is heaven bound, that is going to be in heaven, is someone who had heard the gospel and they repented and were baptized in the name of Christ, Mark 16:16. They were individuals who live a faithful and dedicated life after becoming a Christian. How beautiful heaven must be. It is a beautiful place because of the things that we've just talked about. Beloved, this is what we need to talk about. This is what we need to spend time on. Talk about. Talk about the victory that you have in Christ Jesus. Talk about the home that you have on the other side of judgment. Being able to serve God in eternity. That is forever, time without end. Truly, how beautiful heaven must be. I want to sing that first verse. It's on the board. You'll know it by heart. Don't go looking for your book. There are things we got to learn to sing from the heart. You know what I'm talking about? In fact, I would suggest, some song leaders may like this, but I would suggest that any time that you can sit there and sing the song from the heart without the words, the better off you are. We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's Word He has given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free.
Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be.
I had three other stanzas. We'll stop with that one. Heaven's beautiful. With all the love in my heart. Let's get there. Let's get there. Let's go home and be with our God forever and forever. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a child of God, then, beloved, you can't go there. I'm not going to be the one that keeps you out. You yourself will keep yourself out. God has called upon you this very day from His divine will to obey His gospel. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Won't you this morning repent of your sins? Confess your faith in Christ as the Son of God. We will immerse you into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and after so having that done, sins washed away. No longer can sin be imputed to you in past sins. Now you're ready to serve Him and gain that victory that only comes through Christ. If you have forgotten, pay attention. If you have forgotten how beautiful heaven is, I want you to rethink and see how terrible it would be to miss out on such a beautiful eternal place where God is. So if you, as a child of God, have been living amiss, don't laugh it off. Don't just cry it off. Repent and let's get home. Think of it as we stand and as we sing.